This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa ahlul uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praises belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him, we seek His assistance, and we seek His guidance. And we seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evils of our souls and the adverse consequences of our deeds. Whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees guidance upon, then none can misguide him. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees misguidance upon, then none can guide him. And peace and salutations be upon the final messenger, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I bear witness that there is no one worthy of worship besides one Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his final messenger. My dear brothers and sisters, I welcome you all to episode 7 in our series, A Blast from the Past, Seerah in the 21st Century. Today is the 15th of July, and we're slowly catching up with the last 10 days of Ramadan, and even more importantly, the last 10 nights of Ramadan. We know that the last 10 nights are the best nights of the year, and the last 10 nights have the best night of all the nights of the year. The night of power, Laylatul Qadr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about it, Laylatul Qadri khayrun min alfi shahr. The night of power is better than 1,000 months, meaning the rewards are better than 1,000 months. Better than 1,000 months. Not equal to, but better. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Indeed, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is vast, and His bounties are vast. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decree upon us witnessing this night. Ameen. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Yesterday, my dear brothers and sisters, we discussed the opening of our beloved Prophet's chest, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And we discussed the death of his mother, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And we discussed the death of Abdul Muttalib. And we got up to the point of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam being 8 years old in the home of his uncle, Abu Talib, a man who shared the same mother and father as his father, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And we spoke about how Abu Talib loved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and how we will hear a lot about him, for he supported Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam for more than 40 years. More than 40 years. So this is the stage that we are at. An incident after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam continued living his life under the care of Abu Talib was the incident of him being a shepherd. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was a shepherd. And we discussed in previous episodes how he also was a shepherd as a young boy of 4 years old, according to the correct opinion of the scholars, being a shepherd, right, to sheep when he was living with Halima al-Sa'diyah, when he was living with her, his second foster mother, when he was living in the countryside. But when we refer to him being a shepherd now, then we're referring to him being a shepherd when he's much older. When he's much older. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was a shepherd. And we learn this in many a hadith. For example, the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu an in Sahih Muslim. And in this narration, we actually learn that he sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or he says sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that there was no prophet except that he was a shepherd. Subhanallah. There was no prophet except that he was a shepherd. And they said to him, O Prophet of Allah, even you? And he said, even me. And he went on to say that he used to look after the herd that belonged to the people of Mecca for a piece of a dinar. For a piece of a dinar, which means that he, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, actually earned a living doing this, right? So he said there was never a prophet except that he was a shepherd. So they said to him, even you, O Prophet of Allah? And he said, yes, I used to do it for a portion of a dinar for the people of Mecca. Now, we learn from this, my dear brothers and sisters, many lessons. From these lessons are, number one, the importance of training yourself and taking the means of development to become complete in whatever you plan to become or whatever you plan to do. This continues, right? We said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's training began when he was still in the womb of his mother. And we discussed lessons. Remember when we spoke about how you and I should pick the right mother for our children? We should marry the right woman, and we should make dua before even getting married for Allah to bless us with the right mother to our children. Training our children's tarbiyah begins way before we even say nakahtuha wa qabiltuha and all these words that denote us being married or having accepted a female in our nikah. And we saw how his tarbiyah and him being nurtured to be a prophet continued, given how he went to the countryside, given him losing his mother and the circumstances around his mother passing away, and then his grandfather passing away, and so on and so forth. So this training continued. And even him, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, being inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be a shepherd and take this as a means of earning. He could have done other things. He could have taken care of camels, right? He could have done other things. He could have traded, and he did become a trader eventually. But Allah inspiring him to take on this task of being a shepherd was a sign of how important it is for training to continue until you are ready to assume the role that you intend to assume, or go full out in the profession that you have chosen to make part and parcel of your life. This is the lesson we learn from this. And as I said, Allah could have inspired him to be a trader, could have inspired him to be someone who takes care of camels and other animals, but he was inspired to be a shepherd and take care of sheep. And we will come across the benefits of taking care of sheep specifically. So this was clearly part of his training, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now, as this was his training, we see this was the training of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam before him. He bore testimony to this, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that there was no prophet except that this was a task given to him. We know this from the life of Musa alayhi salam very clearly, for example. Now, prophethood was given to prophets in the majority of the cases when they reached the age of 40. When they reached the age of 40. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was very young still, going through these various training camps, if we can call it, or training processes, because prophecy came to him at 40. And our scholars, rahmatullahi alayhim, say Allah gave prophecy to his prophets at the age of 40, because when you attain the age of 40, you have attained the most complete form of mental maturity and physical maturity. Which means after 40, it's downhill. No offense to our fathers and mothers above 40. And for the young ones who are smiling, one day you'll become 40 as well. So don't make your smiles too wide. And it's not all lost. Because after 40, yes, energies and strength might start becoming weaker, shay'an fa shay, slowly but surely. But wisdom becomes greater, shay'an fa shay, slowly but surely. So for the young ones who are smiling, wisdom outdoes power and ability. Wisdom outdoes it. Wisdom outdoes it. And that's why you've probably seen a Facebook post from me or a Twitter post from me before, which said, if we could join the wisdom of the elders to the vibrant, bubbly energies of the youth, we would move mountains as an ummah. We would move mountains as an ummah. But unfortunately, the youth think they know more than the adults. And that's a problem. And that's a problem. So 40 is your peak. 40 is your peak. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave His prophets prophecy when they attained the age of 40 in most cases. In most cases. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was being trained, and part of his training process was that he was inspired to look after sheep. Now, looking after sheep brings about in you qualities that are different than the qualities acquired when you look after other animals. Horses, donkeys, may Allah honor you all, camels, right? Looking after sheep brings about different qualities. Why? Because of the nature of sheep. It gives you the quality, or it allows you to develop this compassion. It allows you to develop gentleness. It allows you to develop patience. It allows you to develop what females say a lot nowadays. They say, you know, our husbands, they need to be more sensitive. Sensitivity, right? It is said, I'm not experienced, I haven't looked after sheep, but I hear from those who have. And it's interesting when, you know, this is how you have vibrant discussions with different people. When you're good with history. I'm not saying I'm good with history. May Allah increase my knowledge and increase our knowledge. But one of the benefits I've seen from reading the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I've managed to have much more fruitier, if I can use that term, or more fruitful discussions with a plethora of different people. Even those who farm, and those who herd cattle, and those who are shepherds, and so on and so forth. Right? Because you're going to ask them questions based on what you've learned from the seerah, and you want to see. Right? You want to gauge. You want to gauge, how is it now? In the 21st century, we have people, how many people go to a shepherd and say, what's the most important thing you've learned from being with sheep? No, who asks that nowadays? Right? That would be an interesting question. He'll probably scratch his head and have to think, because he himself probably doesn't know what he's learned, right? With his time with sheep, right? So it allows us to have deeper discussions with people, learning the seerah, and not just the seerah, history in general. And we discussed in our first episode how Islam is big on you and I having a good founding with history. Islamic history, world history, it's very important that you do. It's very important that you do. Many of us, we're so shocked at what we see in the world today. But if we studied World War I, you wouldn't be shocked. You would say, you know what? It is what it is. This is insan, this is mankind, this is what it is. We're so naive nowadays because of our lack of historical founding. We don't read history books. We don't listen to lectures on history. We find them boring. Boring, why? Because you and I have no interest really in life. We just want to be average. We just want to be average. You know, they say there's three types of people. There's one person who makes things happen. How many of us make things happen? To make things happen, you need to love reading history. You need to protect yourself from apathy. And then we have the second person. He's the person who watches things happen. Still some goodness in him. At least he's following. He's keeping up. He's watching things happening. And then you have the third person. Who's the third person? The one who says, hey, what happened? Right? He's always asking, what happened? I don't know, I'm not following. What are you guys talking about? I'm behind here. Right? Who do you want to be? We must be the first person. We must be the first person, especially since we had such a robust Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, someone so substantial, so deep. Everything he did had 1,000 words to it. Everything he said had 1,000 words to it, 1,000 lessons to it. That's what I mean, right? Look, we just learned about his birth. It takes us 1 hour. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. So substantial he was, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. ولكن أكثر الناس لا يعلمون. But most of mankind do not know. So the people who spend time with sheep, they say sheep, or our scholars say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made his prophets be with sheep when they were young, so they were even better with human beings when they were older. Right? Because sheep, they become scared. They have enemies. The biggest enemy of a sheep is a wolf. Right? Right? And every sheep has its unique quality. Every sheep has its unique quality. Some have a tendency of straying away from the flock. You one shepherd, whole flock of sheep. You can't just say, khalas, you do it one more time, that's it. No, you're responsible to the person who owns them. So you have to, whether you like it or not, take care of that one that has tendencies of running away. You have sheep that have a tendency of remaining with the flock. You have sheep that are timid. You have sheep that are more daring. Right? Different qualities. Does it not remind you of mankind? We also have similar qualities. Right? You have the lone ranger. And then you have the people's person. The introvert, the extrovert. Right? You have the one who he perceives things. The one who thinks things over. You have people who, mashallah, you know, if you told them, here's an unlimited amount of money, unlimited amount of time, plan your holiday, his way of planning is just rocking up at the airport and seeing what's the next flight available, and he goes on a journey. But then you have another person who, no, he doesn't do that. He needs to sit down for a week, plan everything to the T, the visas, who's going to feed my cat, who's going to lock the door, who's going to check if the, you know, if the electrical appliances are switched on. He makes sure when he lands there, the taxi's prepared, the hotel's ready, confirmation, double confirmation, airlines confirmed, everything to the T, where he's going to change his money, what rate he's going to pay. He's a planner. Now imagine in your group, you have this guy, no care attitude, rock up at the airport, first flight, I'll just see what's on the options. You know, just see what's there. Unlimited money, unlimited time, who cares? Just see what's there and go. And then you put him with this guy who needs to plan everything. Somebody's going to fly off a bridge. One of the two, right? Because when this guy is planning, this guy is going to be scratching his head. And when this guy keeps on saying, let's go, and he nags, this guy is going to get upset and lose his head. People have different mentalities. Everybody's different, and that's why even in your work, in your organizations, in your team, understand personality types. And if you can't get a job being a shepherd, that's the moral of the story. The best training you can undergo, well, perhaps I'm going to write this to a few companies. You know, they say they hire trainers, pay them thousands of dollars a day to come train. It's easy. Just buy a few sheep and tell your people, go and look after them for a week. Inshallah, they will learn. It's the best way to train. You train through practice, right? It's leadership training in practice, not theory. So sheep have specific qualities, and it grows in you specific behavioral patterns, specific emotions, right? And these emotions are needed when you deal with people. When you deal with people. You and I as human beings, for example, are interdependent beings. And one of the things that they say about sheep is they love to stick together. They leverage off each other's strengths. Right? And they know that unity is in numbers. Right? Right? And this is like human beings. Now, don't get me wrong, before somebody says, are you calling us sheep? No, I'm not calling you sheep. I'm not calling you sheep. You see, this young man's laughing. I'm not calling you sheep. I'm saying, I want you to feel the great wisdom here. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspires a prophet to look after sheep. I came across an interesting study by a professor from the University of Wyoming. Right? He has this study about his experiences with sheep. And he has some interesting writings. From the things he says that you cannot make sheep do something contrary to their nature. Subhanallah, from the nature of sheep is they are true to their nature. They cannot do something contrary to their nature. Some people are smiling because now you're thinking sheep are better than human beings, right? Because some human beings do things contrary to nature. Allahul Musta'an, to their nature, to how they've been created. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes when He describes the plight of people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامُ. When Allah talks about the heedless people, when Allah says, وَلَقَدْ ذَرَأْنَا لِجَهَنَّمَ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنْسِ لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا وَلَهُمْ أَعْيُنٌ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ بِهَا وَلَهُمْ آذَانٌ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا أُولَئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلُّ أُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْغَافِلُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we have created many from mankind and jinnkind for the hellfire. Why? They have hearts that physically beat, but their hearts are spiritually dead. And they have ears that physically hear, but their ears are spiritually dead. They don't hear guidance. And they have eyes that physically see, but their eyes are spiritually dead. They don't see guidance. أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ They are like cattle. They are like cattle. Allah says, بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلْ No. Nay, they're worse than cattle. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْغَافِلُونَ They are heedless. Why? Because Allah gave them intellectuality and a brain. And they're behaving like cattle. So they must be worse. Because cattle do not have intellectuality and this gift that has been given to mankind. They are from the heedless ones. They behave as if they don't know, yet they know. May Allah protect us from heedlessness. Right? So, he says, this professor, that you cannot make sheep do anything contrary to nature. He also, to their nature, he says as well, that sheep's most manifest instinct is to flock. Which is a trait of you, of us, right? Insan's instinct is to be together because Allah has created us this way. Allah has made us interdependent beings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in his book, is it they who have shared the mercy of your Lord? Allah says, we have spread amongst them the different abilities that they have and their sustenance. And we've raised some of them higher in rank than others. Why? So that they can oppress one another? No. Allah says, لِيَتَّخِذَ بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا سُخْرِيَّ Allah says, we've done this so they can assist one another. They can assist one another. So we have natural tendencies to be together. We have to leverage off each other's strengths. One person cannot fly his plane, drive his car, make his bread, plant his rice, cook his meals, and so on. You can't. You have a pilot who does that. And then you have the scholar who the pilot refers to when he needs a fatwa. And the scholar refers to the pilot when he needs to travel. And so on and so forth. We leverage off each other's. Our unique greatness comes from the fact that we live off each other's strengths. We leverage off each other's strengths, right? We have an instinct to be together. This is similar to human beings. What the sheep have a natural tendency of doing, this tendency is with human beings. He says, the propensity of sheep is to follow other sheep, not the shepherd. I was reading this and I was thinking, subhanallah, honestly. He says, the propensity of sheep is to follow other sheep, not the shepherd. And he says, sheep are very conservative. They like familiar environments and they're not privy to change. They resist change. Ring a bell? Ring a bell, brothers and sisters? Look at you and me today. Look at human beings. Look first, look at the Quraysh. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam went with the message, did they follow the shepherd or did they follow the sheep? They followed their people. They said that this is what we found our forefathers doing. Right? We found our forefathers doing this. They didn't listen to the shepherd. They were following the flock. The flock is doing this. And subhanallah, when the Quraysh accepted Islam, when Makkah came into the control of the believers, وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا What happened to them? They started following the flock as well. The Quraysh accepted Islam. They all started accepting Islam. Allahu Akbar. Wallahi, when I read this, I was subhana rabbi al-a'la. How perfect is the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what it should do. Make us exalt Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and glorify Him even more. That subhanallah, ya Allah, only You can inspire a human being to work with sheep. How perfect was that inspiration, right? This is what he says from his time with sheep. He says, the sheep are not privy to change. How many of us are like that? Especially the adults. The younger generation is changing. You know, new phones, new computers, new devices. But some of the elders, that Nokia from back in the day, no. This is what we want to use. See, but you know, there's WhatsApp, and there's this and that. We can keep in touch. No. You know, this phone, this is what I'm comfortable with. Alhamdulillah, that's good, right? Because then it saves you spending a lot of money. You don't have to keep on updating, right? Not privy to change.
right? And even in society in general, look how we are with change, right? Today there's a lot of discussion about the schooling system and how it needs to be better and how it does have negative effects, and there's other alternatives being suggested, but look how people are still bent on, no, the school system is good. That's what we know. We're not privy to change. Don't come with something different. Our parents went to school, we went to school, this is how it should be. We're not privy to change. Somebody comes with something new into society, or if something new, even from a business perspective, when a new product is introduced in society, how much money does the company have to spend educating the people about it to convince them to accept it? Not so? A lot of times, if you go to an investor with a product, right? The investor is going to take into consideration the fact that this product will not fly unless we spend millions and millions educating the people about its benefits, convincing them that it's better than what you had, right? Which means society by default is not privy to change. This is similar to sheep. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding and grow us. Ameen, ameen, ameen. So brothers and sisters, these are the similarities between the qualities that sheep have and human beings have, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired his prophets to interact with sheep growing up, part of their training process. So when they went up, they were sensitive to the different types of people. The people who chose to kick him out of his town. The people who chose to usurp the property of the people. We know Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was always good. He prayed salah. They threw dirt and the intestines and blood of animals on him. But he was good with them. There were people who stoned him out of their city, Ta'if. His shoes were filled with his blood, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when Allah gave him the chance to destroy them, he was good to them as well. Such levels of forbearance, such levels of selflessness, such levels of patience, such levels of forgiveness, such levels to withstand harm and difficulty. Wallahi, it didn't just come overnight. It came through experience, through being an orphan before he was born, being an orphan again when he was 6, being sent into the countryside when he was 2, losing his grandfather when he was 8, and so on and so forth. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us those who revive his sunnah. Ameen. At the back there's a big poster which says, the sunnah, the better. The sunnah, the better. Wallahi, haqqan. This is the truth. The sunnah, the better. May Allah make us revivers of the sunnah. Ameen. Ameen.